Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Into the new year, the first Sports Time Radio podcast of 2019. I am the Big Jack, and of course with me is the guy who I think is getting spoiled, only having to do two podcasts a week. That's Dan the Man. So if you'd like to call in and talk to us, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need? Head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so a new one did pop up over there this afternoon. I know it's normally in the morning, but it ended up going this afternoon, so it is up there if you haven't managed to swing on over there and check that out. It's right there for you. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Work Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
All right. Now, you know, Dan, I think anybody who's ever listened to the podcast realizes that, oh, you and I aren't exactly the biggest college football fans or even really college athletics, you know, as a whole. But I did see, I don't know if you want to call it the best or humorous or most interesting thing I ever saw in a bowl game last night. And I didn't even watch the damn game. I couldn't even tell you what happened. But the Sugar Bowl had Georgia and Alabama meeting. I don't know if you've happened to run down this highlight online or come across it yet. But, you know, Georgia's mascot is UGA, UGA, we get it. It's a bulldog. And Texas, of course, the Longhorns, have Bevo, who is this gigantic beast of a steer. Well, for some reason, I don't know if they wanted the photo op or what they wanted, but they decided that it would be a wonderful thing to introduce these two mascots. Oh, well, the dog got about 5 feet away from where they had Bevo penned in, Dan, and he broke out of the pen going after him. So, and oddly, Bevo isn't, you know, he's got full horns and everything. It did turn into Gore City. I think he did knock a couple photographers down, but they deserve it for being in the way. The dog, of course, ran off. You know, the dog wasn't stupid. He was out there. But yeah, by far the best thing that has happened during bowl season. So you'll have to look that up if you haven't had the chance.
Wait, so they have a real bowl and a real dog?
Yeah, yeah. These are live animals that represent these teams as mascots. So... Yeah, I'm assuming that they probably will no longer do that if they're relatively intelligent at all. They will, you know, stay away from attempting to have a mascot meeting like that again, or maybe just not with a gigantic steer.
Well, I mean, not to take away from their mascots or anything, but is this 1980 anymore? Do we really still use live animals as mascots?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how many teams still do it, but, you know, there are a few. You know, I guess if you have the animal, you use it. I don't know. So, but, yeah, you know, fortunately, you know, nobody was injured. It was just luckily more humorous than anything else. So, and I was just like, okay, here we go. But, you know, they didn't make too big of a deal out of it like I thought they would. But oddly, Dan, and I guess maybe I shouldn't be surprised about this. Something they did make a big deal out of, and I guess they didn't have anything to crap on the NFL all year because, you know, the ratings were up and everything. Apparently, Dan, if you're a minority head coach, you should be safe no matter how bad your team is. Because I've heard a lot of complaining that, you know, obviously it's, you know, Black Monday in the NFL after the final week of the regular season, and multiple minority coaches got fired. You know, and all of them had under 500 records. They weren't, you know, winning Super Bowls or even getting into the playoffs. I think out of all the guys who got canned, Todd Bowles was the only one who made a playoff appearance with the New York Jets, and that was 4 years ago in his first year there. So, they just needed something to complain about the NFL? Is that what they were looking for?
Well, what did the Ron have to say about it?
What did who?
LeBron.
Oh, you know, I don't think he's commented yet because, you know, this just happened earlier in the week. So everybody, you know, all the talking heads are just starting to get back to their jobs. You know, they were off for the holiday weekend. So they're just all now rolling in. And I get it that I believe there are only three or four minority head coaches left in the NFL. You know, right now, but you know, we don't know who's going to fill these spots yet. I mean, you know, well, you know, we got to kind of wait and see who gets the job before everything complains. And you know, it just kind of baffled me because, you know, I mean, we were talking about guys like I think one guy in 2 years was 11 and 21 who they canned him, and people were upset with it. You know, and I think the only one that I question is, you know, the Arizona Cardinals decided to make a change. Wilt was only there 1 year. Now, I get it, you know, they didn't have a very good season. But, you know, 1 year isn't exactly proving ground for anybody. So, you know, I would kind of question that. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, you know, Todd Bowles had 4 years. He had a winning record 1 year and a losing record the next three. You know, the Browns fired Hugh Jackson earlier in the season. He had one win in 2 years. So.
Well, you know, it's not like the GMs are going to fire themselves.
Yeah.
The next stop will be
and, you know, I do question, you know, the one thing I do question a little bit is, you know, Denver made the firing of Vance Joseph. I believe he was the guy who was 11 and 21. You know, I don't have any issue at all with the firing, but I guess my big question is, how long before John Elway is on the hot seat there? You know, I mean, I get it. He's a Denver, you know, legend, but you know, he's done diddly squat at GM. I mean, he can't find a quarterback. You know, the couple guys he drafted haven't worked out. So, I mean, you know, how long can you keep a guy like that around, Dan, even if he's a, you know, the greatest player in team history?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a reason why Ryan Danbury is just a correspondent for the Cubs.
Yeah, you know, that's
my point.
You faded out a little there.
It's scary. I said, because I think I'm not going to manage it.
You're still fading on me. I'm not hearing all your sentence. Oh, well, maybe that's why Dan faded, because he dropped off. So we'll have to wait, give him a second to get reset. But, yeah, you know, that was one of my questions there. And I get that, you know, that's a difficult spot to be in when you're a team like that. I mean, you know, you're talking about the guy who legitimately is the greatest player in your team's history. And, you know, he's kind of struggling as a general manager. All right, Dan, try it again. Let's see if we got a little bit, if I can hear you a little better. You were fading last time.
Hello.
There we go. Much better.
All right, well, I mean, let's just move on.
Okay.
Doesn't really.
So that's all I was kind of, you know, kind of cruising with there. But I need your help on this, Dan, because the Mariners have now completely confused me. You know, apparently I thought we were having a fire sale, and now today they go out and they agree to a four-year deal with this top Japanese pitcher, Yuzi. I'm guessing this is Kikuchi or Kikuchi is, you know, what I'm going with there. You know, apparently he's a big-time lefty, you know, throws 90, has, you know, quality breaking stuff. Yeah. Dan, we traded everybody. Why the hell are we adding the guy at the top of the rotation?
Well, I mean, because this deal can last anywhere from 3 to 7 years.
Right. But, I mean, you know, we know how these rebuilds go. Do you think the Mariners are going to be any good in 7 years?
Not if they don't do a real rebuild. I mean, they got rid of kind of what you say, nagging contracts. They weren't really working out for them.
Well, you know, I mean, I guess it depends who you look at. I mean, Cano was a good player for them. You know, even though he had a big top price tag, I mean, you know, I know he had suspension last year, but, you know, his numbers were good. And, you know, James Paxton looked like a top of the rotation guy. So basically, they just kind of replaced Paxton with this guy?
Pretty much.
So, yeah, I don't get it. I'm so confused now. I'm probably crying sleep tonight because I don't know how they do it. Not, you know, now will they win 70 games or 80 games now? I don't know. So, you know, and then the other odd thing, and I, you know, I'm thinking this is only a big deal because it was the Yankees that did this. But I saw a couple of guys on the baseball network, you know, the MLB network, making a huge deal out of the fact that the Yankees were the team that went out and signed Troy Tulowitzki. And I even heard a couple guys say that this will stop them from signing Manny Machado. Did they forget that Tulowitzki didn't play a game last year and has a gigantic injury history?
Well, yeah, I mean, he played in Colorado for several years, so, you know, they kind of forget about his career. He's like a brand-new player.
Yeah, you know, it's humorous because there were those couple guys that would say, well, you know, if he's healthy. Well, when was the last time he was freaking healthy? You know, again, I mean, we're talking about a guy who missed every single game last year. So let me pull up his stats here. In 2017, he only played in 66 games. You know, he was relatively healthy in 2016, played in 131 games. He's a career 290 hitter, Dan. In 2016, he hit 254 as a healthy guy. But I know they're going to overlook that because he hit 24 home runs. So, you know, I don't get why this is a big signing, you know, and they were like, well, you know, this will probably get the, you know, stop the Yankees from going after Machado. Are you really going to attempt to run Tulowitzki out there every day until Didi gets back? He'll die.
Well, I guess with the deal, and this is, I wouldn't say it's a big signing, but a smart signing by the Yankees, because Toronto's still on the hook for $30 million of his contract over the next two seasons, and they're only stuck with league minimum. So,
yeah,
I
you know, I mean,
any, a big signing.
You know, anybody
a smart signing.
It would have been a smart signing and, you know, stuff like this, but would we be making as big a deal out of this if it wasn't by the Yankees?
I I mean, what if it was the Cubs? It would have been kind of a big
right.
deal, would it not?
Well, it would have been a big deal here, you know, but I don't know. Would the MLB
yeah.
Network has made a big deal out of it?
No, no.
Yeah. Cause, yeah, I was just kind of baffled by the fact that, you know, I mean, it was the second story, you know, because, of course, you got to do is talk about Bryce Harper and Manny Machado. And then the next story was Troy Tulowitzki. And I'm like, really? You know, didn't Jonathan LaCroix sign a contract? I mean, at least he played last year.
Last year, I mean, as I'm reading the article on MLB, the app, prefer to call it that way, it looks like he hasn't appeared in the game since July 28th of 17.
Yeah. Oh. So, yeah, I don't get it. It, you know, it's kind of like, great, we signed Tulowitzki. Well, we, you know, A, you don't even know if he's healthy. I mean, I know he did the workout. You know, he put on the workout for those teams. But, you know, I mean, you know, I honestly, I think the best case scenario for them is if he can play a little first base for them and they can maybe use him in a platoon situation over there. Because, you know, maybe he fills in at shortstop every once in a while because you can't run him out. I'm guessing even on grass, you probably can't run him out there 2 or 3 days in a row, can you?
No.
You know, I mean, that would be just completely frightening to me, you know, to, you know, if I'm a Yankee fan and this is all they're doing to replace Didi, you know, until he comes back, you've got a problem.
Well, I mean, don't they just go back out and re-sign the guy they traded to the Cubs that the Cubs release?
Yeah, you would think. You know, I mean, that would be, you know, a smart thing for them to do. I'm actually a little surprised they haven't done that yet. Maybe they're waiting till some things clear up. But, yeah, I just kind of keep looking at it thinking, why, you know, I mean, you know, is it me? You know, do I have some kind of bias that I'm missing? I don't understand why, you know, maybe 5 years ago this was a gigantic deal if he was signing with the Yankees. But, you know, it's freaking, like I said, you know, well, I did think it was 2009. Maybe if it was 2009, this would be a big deal. But, you know, in 2019, I mean, Tulo's past his prime. He's 34. He's pretty much done.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason it was, for me, would be a, I wouldn't say a headline story, but maybe in the top rotation is because it was a signing. It was a transaction that took place. You know, other than that, you know, I don't think you spend more than 3 minutes on it if you're on a 30-minute television show.
Yeah, just, you know, like I said, I was baffled by why this was, you know, any kind of importance other than the fact that maybe it's slow. You know, is it a, you know, maybe there's a slow news day, there's not a lot of stuff going on, but, you know, yeah, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, great, this is what we're talking about? Hey, you know, isn't there, you know, any, did anything else happen? I mean, you know, like I said, the Mariners did sign a pitcher. Maybe we could talk about that, or, you know, I know that you need to talk about something in a big city. Well, the Cubs did hire two coaches, you know, maybe you could talk about that. I don't know what the heck else is out there, but, you know, yeah, it was just ridiculous. You know, like, wait, really? Help me. Why? I don't get this at all.
Now, and Roster Resource has already updated their depth chart to include Tulo without his New York Yankees number. But does he take number middle number two?
Yeah.
Because that was his idol.
Yeah. Do they have him as the starting shortstop?
Yeah, I mean, they plugged him in already. I was trying to go in and find, you know, who else they would have.
Now, approach. Can we part? Oh,
Yeah. And is that, you know, that mean?
Yeah, you know, what's weird is, I mean, I thought it just kind of made general sense for the Yankees to move Torres over till, you know, Didi got back and then find a, you know, like you mentioned, they could bring Ronald Torres back if they wanted to. You know, the Cubs didn't hang on to him, or, you know, there are other, you know, second basemen still out there. I mean, I don't know if they're interested in bringing Neil Walker back, you know, but there are, you know, there are guys, I'm trying to think off the top of my head, but I'll get the positions mixed up, so I'm going to have to actually look and see who they are. You know, I mean, like, I don't think they would want to bring in, like, a Jed Lowry or anything, because he would need, you know, significant playing time. But, yeah, there's, you know, there's got to be, I mean, just kind of fill-in guys. Can't you go out and get a guy who can be a, you know, a big-time utility guy for you? You know, I mean, maybe they, you know, why don't they sign, like, a Josh Harrison? You know, he could hold down second base until Didi gets back, and then, you know, he can play all infield positions plus the corner outfield spots.
And as I'm going through there, looking up, you know, who's on the roster or the minor league, they have a second baseman who, you know, double that first and third. He's a Rule 5. And that's Billy Fleming, but, you know, it doesn't look like he'd be a guy you'd want to bring up. And then, you know, in the shortstop position, Holy. Under Alberto, we have no options left. He played in the major league last year, so you really can't bring a kid up like that, bring him up and put him back down again. So that just eliminated that possibility. And then another short second third baseman is Pyro Estrada. He was an amateur free agent in 2012. He's only 22 years old. He has two options left, so I don't. You know, he's kind of high ranked, but he's been in the Arizona Fall League. He made it to AAA, but I don't know that he would make a splash or really hold the position down for them. But you've got to hope that, you know, Tulo can play. I mean, because, you know, who else do you have to play?
Well, do they have where do they have Tyler Wade listed on that?
I mean, he's technically still in the they just have him on the bench as an infield outfielder.
No. You know, because I know he could see time, you know, in the infield, but, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, there's plenty of names out there that can hold down the fort that you could probably get, you know. You know, Harrison would probably want more than a one-year deal, but, you know, Brad Miller ended up being a pretty decent power hitter. He can play some second and some first, which is a position, you know, you've had some issues with. You could probably get him on a one-year deal. You know, like I said, I don't know if they want to bring Neil Walker back, but I he would be a guy. You know, Jose Reyes could hold down the fort, even though he's 36. You know, again, you're not looking for him to play full time. You know, these are guys you could probably get on a one-year deal. You know, there's plenty of guys, you know, that are probably going to be better than Tulo or give you more games than Tulowitzki that are, you know, still kind of hanging out around there.
Yeah, but I think, you know, and maybe this would have appeased you a little better if they went into the actual, you know, maybe – more of a why. You know, why would the Yankees make a move like this? And I think it honestly comes down to simple numbers, and that's the fact that
yeah.
They're throwing league minimum at him, and by the time Didi gets back, if they don't sign Machado, by the time Didi gets back, you either have a trade piece or you just simply release him. You know, let's just go through their lineup real quick. Leading off, Brett Gardner, Aaron Judge, Aaron Hicks, Giancarlo Stanton, Gary Sanchez, Miguel Andujar, Leymar Torres, and Luke Fultz. And then going to the All right, going to the bench, you have Austin Romaine, Tyler Wade, Jacoby, and Clint. I mean, are you hoping basically that at shortstop, Tulo and Wade pretty much can pick that up because those are the only guys who are going to play that. But on the other end of it, on the other side of that, I mean, look at this pitching staff. Luis Severino, James Paxton, Masahiro Tanaka, J.A. Happ, and then CeCe. You go to the bullpen, you know, your long reliever is Sonny Gray. You have Tommy Kane, Jonathan Holder, Stephen Tarplay, and Chad Green. But when you go to Dellin Betances and Aroldis Chapman, I mean, I know we're just talking on paper, and I know this is January, and it's going to play out totally different when the season starts, but, I mean, that pitching rotation and essentially that batting lineup, I think just proves that you just need a guy who's got the experience to fill that spot until Didi gets back. I think that's the bigger story on that side.
Yeah, you know, you may have solved the problem there while you were going over anything. I kind of forgot about it. You mentioned Sonny Gray, who they want to trade.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, there's the trade piece to go get what you need. You know, I mean, you find the team that, you know, is willing to give up that middle infielder for him, and, hey, you know, here you go. You got it relatively solved as long as, you know, the numbers add up or line up or the Yankees can get what they're looking for. I mean, you know, you could probably get a middle infielder and a prospect for a guy like Sonny Gray who has, you know, has put up really good numbers everywhere but New York. You know, I mean, he was good in Oakland.
Yeah,
but,
he was really
good. You know, it's just kind of – you know, and it's weird because, like, I don't even have a problem with Tulo. It's just kind of the point that this was made out to be such a big deal, and I just don't see it being that big a deal.
No. Well, and like I said, I mean, I think the bigger deal about it is how they're, with what they have going for them, how they're able to just kind of throw anybody in that mix. And they did so with a guy who has the experience playing the position, who probably, like you said, won't play every day. And, I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to speak for you, but I think both of us don't see him making it to May.
Not if they expect him to play, you know, three or four times a week, he's not making.
So, I mean, I think it's a good throwaway. I think it's a good fill-in for them. I think it's a good throwaway. And like I said, when Didi gets back, he could try, you know, platoon them. And let's see. You know, Tyler Wade still has two options left. Clint Frazier still has two options left. So I think it's one of those you just kind of wait to see and let Didi get back into the rhythm. And then, you know, just do whatever you can with Troy. Again, if they don't beat out the White Sox for Machado.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was funny because I saw another article that said the. Let me see if I can get the wording right. I didn't bother to read it because I thought it was really kind of stupid here. Why the White Sox could swing and miss on both Machado and Harper? Dan, were there people out there that were really stupid enough to think Machado and Harper were going to ever sign with the White Sox?
Harper, no. And I'll give you number one, I wouldn't read this article at all because I think it's blatantly obvious why neither one would sign there. The only edge or any kind of significance I give to the White Sox being into that mix is Machado's performance in the World Series. And granted, I don't know this kid. You know, I've never spoken to him. I did get to see him play in Boston against Baltimore. Unfortunately, it was the day before he took out Pedroia. I didn't get to be a part of, you know, all that fun stuff. But you know, me personally, the only reason I could see him going to the South Side is because they give him the most money. Because I don't believe that he cares that much about winning. World Series. I think what he's looking for right now is a contract to get all the money he can get, with maybe not a no trade clause, but a one of those clauses where you can veto your trade. Yeah, because once that money's secured, once he signs his name on the dotted line, or maybe it's not dotted anymore, but once he signs his name on that line, he's getting that money. So if he's with the White Sox and in 2 years they end up trading him to the Yankees or someone, I doubt he'd ever go play in Boston. But he's going to get paid. So to be honest, with this contract, the only reason I could see the White Sox being in the mix and actually being able to do it is because they throw the ridiculous amount of money that he and his agent want. I don't believe he's looking for this signing to win a championship. That's the only reason I give any credit to the White Sox getting him.
I mean, humorously with the, with the Machado thing, remember the Yankees came out where, they were like, well, he showed a lack of hustle and, that won't fly with the Yankee organization and we're really not interested in him. And who's been the number one team on Machado the last month?
The Yankees.
Yeah. So, so much for that having, any meaning or anything. I mean, if you have talent, they're going to find you. It's not going to be an issue at all, no matter, how big of an ass you are or jerk or whatever kind of person you are, you'll get your payday.
Yeah, and then, and that's a knock the White Sox in any form or whatever. But with Machado, knowing the way the team is run and kind of the reputation they have, I just don't think he fits. I don't think he fits with their way of doing things.
No.
Do you kind of see it that way?
Well, there's no reason for a guy like Machado to, or Harper, pick whichever one you want to, throw it into. There's no reason either of those guys should sign you. You got to figure, in Harper's case, it looks like, he's looking to play for a winner where, we do have to kind of wonder about Machado, but, you're talking about a team that even with the addition of one of these guys is probably still 3 or 4 years away from winning. Unless they're magically going to go out and add incredible starting pitching, but you just tied up all your money in a position player. So, you're not going to be able to go out and add the Dallas Keuchel or whoever the best, starter is still hanging around out there.
Yeah, well, to be honest, for the White Sox, I still believe they're a couple of years away from, maybe a playoff run, which, let's be honest, with the AL Central being kind of the weakest division, it's kind of unlikely that they could somehow make a rush and knock the Indians out, or at least, no wild card game for the AL Central. But, if I'm the White Sox, I'm going to keep my name and, throw numbers out there so you can jack up, the price and, get the Yankees or the Phillies to pay more money for one of these two, or even the Nationals, which I still have a theory on why Bryce is going to re-sign with the Nationals. If I'm the White Sox, I truly sit out of this free agency here. Really build up that pitching, get the team together, and wait 2 more seasons when you can make the biggest splash and sign Mike Trout.
Yeah, well, if I'm the White Sox, I'm looking to add these guys, very much like the Cubs did. Remember the Cubs added Scott Feldman and then were able to turn him into something. These are kind of the moves the White Sox need to make, maybe you sign a Drew Pomeranz who just told you, if he goes out and he has a good year for you, come the trade deadline, you turn him into a couple prospects. you know, I mean, that, you know, that's the kind of stuff where, you know, Nate Carnes is out there. You know, these guys can be really solid additions to the back of playoff rotation, you know, or for contenders, you know, when you need those guys or somebody gets hurt. You know, these are the kind of guys you look to fill in 4 and 5 to give you those 5-6 innings before, you know, you start running your bullpen out there. Let's say if you're the Brewers, then you only need 3 innings out of them, and you start running your bullpen out of there.
Yeah. Let's get along that line.
So, yeah, I'm just kind of, you know, I'm a little baffled. You know what I mean? I understand they need to get their name out there in this town, and that's a way they can
do it.
You know, by making it seem like they're chasing these guys. Otherwise, all we'd be talking about is the Cubs. You know, nobody would say a word about the White Sox.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that was, what was it, a couple of years ago with the World Series. You know, they completely ended the Sox, or I forget who it was, completely just eliminated or forgot about or disregarded the White Sox won in 2005. Or was it ESPN? I can't remember which network it was.
Yeah, I forgot about that one. Yeah, they were listening to the champions. It was like, wait a minute, you missed a team. You know, they did win it. Oh, God. That's just nuts. You know, yeah, that's when you know you're in trouble, when they forget the list you want to. Jeez. But, yeah, I just kind of, you know, anytime I hear any kind of talk about Machado or Harper, I just change the channel because, you know, neither guy's probably signing for at least a month. You know, I mean, the only thing I was interested in is they said Harper had a 5-hour meeting with the Nationals. So you got to wonder if in the end he just ends up going back to Washington.
Oh, I guess so. I mean, he has that lifetime deal with Under Armour, which is headquartered where? You got it.
I don't know. Is it in Washington?
Over there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't think it's exactly Washington, D.C., but it's in that area. So, you know, I think, honestly, with what that team has done, I think all signs point to him staying there.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if he wants to win, I mean, they've made some really good additions, and, you know, it looks like, you know, they'll contend again. You know, last year was just such a strange year for them.
Mm-hmm.
So
the next stop will be
Yeah, but you know, like, you know, another guy I was thinking, I know I kind of got stuck on pitching, but you know, why aren't the White Sox talking to a guy like Mike Moustakas? You know, I mean, 30 years old, he's a big time lefty power hitter. You know, they let Matt Davidson go, which I didn't understand. That was kind of baffling. I mean, he was, you know, he had 30 home run power. You know, isn't that the kind of guy you kind of want to bring in now? And if it works out, you know, another trade piece or, you know, if you're well enough, you can keep bringing him back and, you know, maybe keep fighting him.
Yeah, well, you know, part of it, too, is, you know, here's my part of the comment. Maybe they're just waiting for him to, his agent to turn down a bunch of offers to not get signed.
Yeah.
And then,
well, you know, that's the
kind of comment.
You know, I was kind of wondering what you're thinking this year. You know, last year, you know, there were these guys, and you know, Moustakas was one of them. He ended up going back to the Royals on a really low money deal. You know, after he turned down the qualifying offer. You know, how long this year do you think they learned anything last year from keeping their guys out so long? You know, these agents, you know, you think they'll get guys signed a little earlier so they can get into camp? I mean, we saw how it affected Jake Arrieta. I mean, he was solid, but he wasn't good.
Yeah.
You know, Lance Lynn was horrible.
I really believe that the guys in the Boris camp are kind of prudent insofar as he still thinks that baseball wouldn't be there without him.
Well,
Yeah, you think he's that arrogant of an ass to actually believe that he matters one iota?
I still think so. I mean, I know, well, I gave up on the MLB network, but I know networks aren't really going to Top Wars for TV time anymore because of his arrogance. I think that knocks down a peg, but I still think that he thinks he runs baseball. So, kind of like Moustakas, I'm not saying he should jump on the first contract he gets, but I think you should really be signed by the end of this month and ready to go to training camp. And, you know, even if you're not there for batting practice and all that, you should be ready for, you know, games by March 1st.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was kind of thinking. I'm thinking if you're one of those guys, you want to be signed by February 1st. I mean, so you know basically what the hell is going on. You know what I mean? I can understand, you know, if you're Harper and Machado, you don't have to worry about a damn thing. You know, that's no big deal at all. But, yeah, you know, if you're these other guys hanging out here, you know, you got to start wondering, you know, okay, are you going to get me into camp? You know, this is why I'm paying you. Let's get going. But,
well,
yeah,
I think it's just even harder for pitchers because, you know, every single former player talks about their routine. You know, it never changes. You know, it's always the same. And when you don't have that month of getting into your routine, I think it sets you back. It's not like wrestling.
Looking around that these idiots would have learned from last year, you know, it would just be kind of like, hey, you know, look, especially with pitchers, you know, hitters can catch up, but I mean, you look at some of these pitchers, you know, I mentioned Arrieta, I mentioned Lance Lynn, you know, how big of an embarrassment was Alex Cobb last year? You know, I mean, the guy who was a relatively quality starter in Tampa Bay, thought he was a $20 million a year player and, you know, shot his mouth off. Nobody wanted him. You know, zero interest whatsoever. Baltimore finally takes the shot with him because, you know, his numbers come down. And, you know, okay, I get it. They were a bad team, but they had some talent. But, you know, when you're giving up, you know, what was his ERA? You know, it was 6. For a while, and I think did he end up in the double numbers? Because I think he ended up in the 5s last year. So, oh yeah, here you go. Yeah, 490 ERA. So there you go. You know. So yeah, I mean, you know, you would like to hope or think that you know these agents learned their lesson. You know, and was kind of like, okay, well, we need to, be a little smarter or start negotiating earlier or whatever you got going. But, you know, are you going to get a contract after this? I mean, you know, Cobb's only 31. He'll hit the free agent market again in a couple of years. You know, if you're not ready to go this year, well, you're pretty much done after, you know, this contract expires. So, yeah, I mean, to me, that's just kind of, you know, stupidity on these agents' parts. I get it that, you know, you think your guys are, you know, worth, you know, millions and millions upon dollars, but, you know, sooner or later, you got to realize where you're really sitting and, you know, stop having your head wedged so far up your rear end. You know, I mean, like, is Moustakas a Boris guy? Do you remember?
I believe so. But then again, I think everyone's a Boris guy.
Yeah, I'm going to double check here. But, yeah, you know, I mean, yeah, he's a Boris guy. Boris cost him a boatload of money last year with the way he handled him. He ended up signing with the Royals last year $5.5 million is what he made last year.
Ooh,
and the
his qualifying was like 11.
Right. You know, he did, you know, like this year he didn't get the $1 million buyout for the Brewers because they didn't, you know, they didn't keep him around. Yeah, I mean, how you know, so Boris cost him a minimum of $6 million. You know, is he going to cost him a boatload of money again? I mean, you know, we're talking about a guy who hit 28 homers for two teams last year, 38 the year before that. So, you know, I know he was injured in 2016, but he had 34, you know, the season before that. So, I mean, we're talking about a legitimate left-handed hitter with 30 home run power. So, yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, you know, we'll have to see. And, I mean, you know, combined last year, he hit 251. He is a career 251 hitter. So, you know, and he's, you know, and, you know, on top of everything else, he's a solid defender. I know his defense doesn't get a lot of talk. You know, while I don't think he's a gold glover, you know, he's good enough to run out there every day at third base, and he's not going to kill you. And, you know, of course, if he ends up in the American League, you know, days off can be DH days. You know, if you want to get the left-handed bat into the – you know, into the, you know, the system there or however you want to work it out. So, you know, and obviously you're looking at a guy with, you know, now turns out to be a boatload of playoff experience. He's actually been in 41 playoff games. So, but yeah, I don't know. It just kind of, you know, it kind of baffles me with what, you know, especially Boris, the way he kind of handles his clients, and you know, I don't know. You know, you wonder sooner or later if they just end up, you know, kind of telling him to get lost, or you know, however it works out. So, all right, well, Dan, I got to ask you, you know, some other fun stuff about basketball here, because I know we love the NBA as well. I don't know if you saw this, but I believe it's a show on the ESPN app. I don't think either you or I are paying for the app. You know, I know they had a free trial, but I didn't even bother to look. I'm just not interested. But apparently LeBron has some type of show on there where he came out and mentioned since he won the NBA title with the Cavaliers in, I think it was 2016, and they beat the Golden State Warriors, who were 73 and whatever that year, that makes him the greatest player of all time. Yeah, you buying that?
No, not even a little bit.
So, you know, and I understand, you know, it's always difficult to compare these guys. You know, I mean, you can't compare, you know, Jordan to Chamberlain or LeBron to Jerry West. I mean, the eras are just too different for you to, you know, for anybody to kind of go, okay, well, you know, this guy's better than this guy. And, you know, yeah, you know, like I think LeBron is a great player, but, you know, like he talks about coming back from 3-1, you know, down 3-1 in that. You know, and I get it that obviously he's blacked out the fact that there were a lot of incredibly bad refereeing calls to make sure Cleveland stayed in that series. And Draymond Green also had to serve a suspension during the series for something he did. So, yeah, there was a lot of weight to kind of make sure the, you know, like a lot of NBA finals, to make sure it's going to go 7 games or whatever they need it to go. And, you know, I get that he's not going to remember any of that or, you know, any of the other BS. But, you know, really, and, you know, what oddly, what also he also doesn't mention, Dan, is, you know, that 2016 Cleveland Cavalier team wasn't too bad. You know, Kyrie Irving had a hell of a season. And, I think Kevin Love was actually healthy for for the majority of the playoffs. So it's not like he was going out there with scrubs. So yeah, I just don't, I don't get it. I guess, again, it's one of those things where you just need to be, you need to be believing your own hype, more or less. Whoops, there we go. Bring Dan back in. Well, twice you fell off. That normally doesn't happen. But yeah, is that your thing? You just, they're kind of, got to believe his own hype.
Well, that and the fact that makes him the greatest player. I mean, did he forget he had a team?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, definitely. So,
that to me kind of takes away from his super, he's so great and he's such a great guy kind of stuff when he's saying that he's the greatest, player because he defeated them.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting that he didn't mention anybody else. He kind of falls. So, it's one of those odd situations there. But yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting because I don't know most of the great players don't say they're the greatest of all time. They kind of let that slide and just kind of don't want the moniker, but he apparently embraces it and he's now the greatest of all time. Of course, if you're looking for him to play tonight, he's going to sit out because, he is hurt. The Lakers are playing the Thunder. They're the late game on the Mickey Mouse Network. And he won't be playing. So I don't know. Were you planning on watching that Laker Thunder game tonight?
No, I wasn't.
No. So, yeah, that's, just one of those things. But, yeah, I was just kind of – yeah, I guess I was just – because, one of the things he pointed out was, what makes him better than Michael Jordan is the Cavaliers were an underdog in that series. And he talked about how Jordan never had to deal with anything like that. It's like, well, that's because he was great and he never allowed his team in those kind of situations. So, I don't know. Just kind of. Well, here you go, Dan. If you've got the NBA League Pass, we got three games started. The Dallas Mavericks are at the Charlotte Hornets. The Miami Heat are at the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I know you'd be interested in this game. The Atlanta Hawks are at the Washington Wizards. You have to catch up on that one. We also have the New Orleans Hornets at the Brooklyn Nets. The first game on the Mickey Mouse Network is the Minnesota Timberwolves at the Boston Celtics. And I saw Kyrie is going to sit out. Kyrie Irving's out with some kind of eye injury. We got the Orlando Magic at the Chicago Bulls, so you and I can watch this locally here. The Detroit Pistons at the Grizzlies. The Philadelphia 76ers at the Phoenix Suns. And then, of course, the night wraps up with that Oklahoma City Thunder at the Los Angeles Laker game. So there you go. If you're interested, hunt down some NBA games. That's what you need tonight. So good luck with that.
How long is the free pass for?
I honestly don't even know if it's still going. They had one. I'm guessing it's probably worse since it's no longer, New Year. It's no longer the holiday. I'll have to check later. But, yeah, my guess is that it's done. So, we'll have to see. But I think there was something else that's what did you see that I split my championship games with the Elk guy?
No, I saw updates from the one lead from guys messaging, congratulating, I think, you. And then,
well, they should be
actually, the elk congratulated you. I finished 6th and 11th, so I had one. Both my finishes were better. Which one did you win? Which one did you lose?
I ended up, I believe I won the sports time radio league, which I think was the, I actually think was the auction league. I got to double check that to make sure. I might have it asked backwards there, but let me see which was which. I won the auction league, and I got trounced in the snake league. He beat me by over 80 points in the snake league. I get a first and a second this year. So not too bad. And you mentioned that you had a 6th and an 11th.
Yeah, I ended up starting the Lions defense and not the Colts, which would have won me, got me 5th place.
Ooh. No. You know, I get an A- for my season. Not what I wanted to see here. I wanted to look at the actual league because I want to know where Mr. Fantasy decided to finish in these leagues here, so we could compare him to us. So let me see if I can find the damn standings. There we go. Because, yeah, I don't think he did very well. No, that didn't work out for me either. Come on. Oh, well, the heck with it, Dan. All I know is he didn't do as well as you and I did. So there you go. Not only did he post on the message board to congratulate me, he sent me a personal message. So... But that was very nice of the elk. He's the eldest one in the league, and I forgot what he is in the other one. So, but yeah, so that worked out. That worked out okay. And while we're running up against the clock, Mr. Fantasy finished 15th in one league. And I don't know if I'll have time to get the other one, but maybe I can yell it over the music or something. So we got another bad finish in the other one here. So we'll have to there we go. Maybe I'm gonna make it, Dan. It's gonna be tight. Oh no, I didn't quite make it, but I will have it here in the in a second. So the music plays out he was 15th in both leagues. So not a heck of a year for Mr. Fantasy. They aren't really trying to gain a lot of leads, but they have to get a couple more five stages with you this kind of game. I just want to deal with what we're going. Get on the step back and you know that the next one going up the draft. Get some of these followed on the Facebook page. You see that a lot of people over there talking and a lot of the people. Don't forget we are going to put it in I'm going to do that. 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 I'm going to do that.